The Old Testament lesson for Septuagesima is from Exodus chapter 17. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt? To kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you.
The epistle is written in St. Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, the 9th and 10th chapters. "Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we and imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard, and going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you.' So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?' So the last will be first, and the first last." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
The master of the house said, "Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or is your eye evil because I am good?" In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord's blessings to all of you, dear ones. Today, as you heard Pastor Wright say, is indeed Septuagesima, or Gesima, however you say it. And for our catechumens and new converts, for those of you who may have forgotten or are otherwise unfamiliar, this means we are now, if you can believe it, about 70 days away from Easter Sunday. 70 days, that's it. Today we begin the pre-Lent season, of course. It's a short liturgical season, and it's a time for us to make ready for the season of Lent itself. And that special period beginning with Ash Wednesday, leading up to Holy Week. And as we set out to make this liturgical journey to the cross on Good Friday and the empty tomb on Easter morning, we strive to do so with more devotion to our Lord than usual, more prayer and fasting and meditation on the Holy Scriptures and on all that our blessed Lord Jesus did for us, unworthy sinners, to redeem us and show mercy to us and lavish us with the riches of his grace. So how fitting it is then for us to begin making ready for the journey ahead by fixating on this grace, looking at what it is and what it's like in action. That's our focus today, the unmerited kindness and favor of God given us in Jesus Christ. That's what we see in our master's parable of the workers in the vineyard. The kingdom of heaven, our Lord says, is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And dear ones, already right here, you should see just how extraordinary this really is. In our Lord's parable, it's none other than the master of the house who personally takes it upon himself to go to the market to find laborers. And this would be like seeing a well-known, well-respected CEO of a thriving company personally going down to a local job fair. Can you imagine the kind of interest that would stir up? Can you imagine? The master of the house in the parable doesn't send his foreman. It's not some assistant or manager who goes. It's the master himself who's the one who searches and finds men, hoping in the end for steady work, but who, if nothing else, just need a decent job for the day to provide for their families back home. And those in the marketplace, by the way, they don't just want any kind of work either. Like any self-respecting man, they want something they can be proud of when they return home. It's not just about money. They also want their honor and their dignity to remain intact. So they won't be ashamed to look their wife and kids in the face when they return home. And I can preach on the importance of that alone for a long time, but I'm not going to do that today. I'll save that sermon for another day. The master of the house, though, for his part, he goes to the market early on in the day, and by the end of the parable and all throughout, you can see very, very clearly that he goes and looks for those in need so that he can be good to them, very good, so that when it was all said and done, all those who were called into service in his vineyard would truly know and experience firsthand what generous mercy and grace truly are. So the master gathers one group of laborers, and they agree to terms, one denarius for one full day's work, and they gladly go and get busy. And the day is far from finished, of course, when they begin, but then again, so is the work of the master. He, in fact, returns to the marketplace at the third hour, about 9 a.m., he goes back to do as he did before, sending yet another group of laborers into his vineyard, only this time promising to pay them what is just. That's all he says. And he does this again at the sixth hour, and again at the ninth, and again at the 11th hour, even 1 hour before quitting time, about 5 p.m., with daylight fading fast, with all hope nearly gone. Even then, the master goes out searching and calling people into his service, promising to save them and their families from the fate that awaited. And if I could speak especially to the gentlemen here, brothers, just imagine how you'd feel if you were in their spot, out of a job and hoping to find something you could do to make ends meet, even for just one day, knowing that if you didn't, you'd have to go home to an anxious wife and hungry children and say, I have nothing to show for being out all day. Dinner is going to be light. You're probably going to go to bed hungry. But hopefully tomorrow will be different. Just imagine facing that when suddenly at the 11th hour, you see the face of that same noble man coming once more to the market to find you and call you into his service, promising you wages, promising to spare you and your family from what would otherwise happen. Just think of that. Well, together, all those called into the vineyard were trusting that the master would be true to his word And for this, not one of them, from the first to the last, were put to shame. Some of them, though, those who were hired first, they certainly were scandalized by the grace they saw being given to others. And the question today, dear ones, is what about you? What about you? Our text says that when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them the wage." It doesn't say wages in the Greek text. There's only one wage given for laborers in his vineyard, beginning with the last up to the first. And dear ones, those called into the vineyard at the very beginning of the day watched as group after group after group ahead of them was lavished with generous, unmerited kindness. Again and again they watched the master show favor to those who knew full well they didn't deserve it. It was no secret to anyone what was going on. It was clear for everyone to see that this was pure grace put on display right in front of their eyes. And that takes us right to the heart of the matter now, doesn't it, dear ones? What is your response when you see the grace of God being given to sinners who've turned and listened to the voice of Jesus? When you see the alcoholic, the drug addict, the abuser, the adulterer, all those who may have lived as complete scoundrels their entire life, until even at the 11th hour, when it seemed all hope for salvation was lost, at last they hear the promise of the gospel, calling them into the vineyard of the holy Christian church. And by sheer grace alone, our Lord and Master gives them equal status and standing with us as the baptized. And they're saved. How do you respond? Well, here's how those hired first saw things. Here's how they responded. They grumbled at the master. They hated what they saw. But he simply says to them, "Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or is your eye evil because I am good?" The truth is, even if we have borne many burdens while serving our master, it has cost us nothing for him to be good and generous with his grace. But it has cost him everything. Jesus has labored long to fulfill the whole law for us so that he could make his merit our own and credit us with his own righteousness through faith. He has borne the burden of his cross for us to atone for all our sins, and surely we would all be lost in sin and shame had Christ not found us and called us by the gospel into his church. And the only wages we didn't deserve to have him take from us are the wages of sin, which is death. That he has taken from us, and what a service he's really done to us. So no matter what hour it was when you came into the vineyard, dear ones, we must all see one another as those who've had the honor of knowing and serving such a generous, gracious master. Let there be no grumbling among us today, but together with one voice, let us sing his praises instead. To Christ be all the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.